Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Di Manuel as my special expert guest. Di Manuel is a proud dad and husband who is perpetually dating his wife. He's also a lifestyle mentor, author, fitness coach, motivational speaker, former COO of Fitness Town Incorporated, professional blogger, competitive athlete, and all-around life enhancer. After personally battling obesity as a teenager, Di became committed to engaging as many people as possible and living healthier, more active lives. Di believes that lifelong happiness and well-being must be built on a rock-solid foundation of health, and that a sustainable, healthy lifestyle is possible for everyone. Through his award-winning blog, The Moose is Loose, and his coaching programs, Di has helped thousands of people to reach their health and fitness goals. Di, his wife, Christy, and their daughters, Chardonnay and Braylin, are active and enthusiastic participants in their community in Vancouver, Canada. Good afternoon, Di, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hey, thanks, Corey. Man, that was quite the intro. I'm going to have to take you on the road with me. That was great. Thanks for the opportunity to connect with you on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And it's easy to speak highly of people that are impressive and moving and shaking and doing something extraordinary, which is what I believe that you're doing now. We're going to certainly talk about that. What I like to do with all our guests is get a bit personal, get some background info. So let's talk about your personal life, such as where did you grow up? What some of your interests and dreams when you were growing up as a kid, and if you played sports or not?
Sure. Well, I grew up in a rural part of Ontario called Bowmanville. And Bowmanville is, it used to be known because it had a fifth wheel truck stop. And it was pretty much the pit stop. If you were driving from Toronto to Kingston along the 401, it was right around the halfway point. So a lot of people would stop there, grab the coffee, and then continue onward. I grew up there. And now my parents, they separated when I was 9. And at the time that my dad moved to a place called Oshawa, my mom moved to Port Hope. So I've spent time in both of those areas as well. But yeah, I moved up to Vancouver in 95 once I graduated high school. But growing up in Ontario, small town Ontario, you know, it was a hockey town through and through. I mean, I grew up watching the Oshawa Generals play, and a lot of people know the Generals put on the map. You know, we've had a lot of famous players play there, but I wasn't a hockey guy. I didn't come from sports, and I was later to come to sports when I was 15, and largely due to the fact that I was morbidly obese, and at my largest, age 14, I was a BMI of over 40, so I was clinically diagnosed as morbidly obese. And, you know, this is 30 years ago now, and at the time, it was challenging, and you're as familiar as I am with working with people that are very overweight, it's challenging because all the stereotypes and cliches, they originated from some form of truth at one point or another, and I lived all those cliches. So I didn't participate in sports. But at 15, I started mountain biking. I started to eat smarter, move my body more frequently, and I repeated that practice every day and changed my life. From there, that was really the catalyst to put me on the path to a career in the health and wellness and fitness industries, and haven't really looked back ever since, but I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, little dreams and ambitions as a youngster, I used to want to be a veterinarian and follow my father's footsteps as a vet. But once I got into university and I started really diving into the sciences, I realized that I loved animals, but I just didn't love them enough to commit my life. So I made some changes and pursued other passions that were more in line with my passions and not necessarily the passions I thought that other people would want me to follow.
Yeah, that's a very strong point, and you nailed a very important point there. Maybe that's tied in with why some people are not well, why they're depressed. But, you know, looking at you today, you look really well and fit. You got that chiseled jawline. It looks like you've been in shape your whole life. So, you know, you got to bring out that picture, I'm sure, to show people. And then even then, they maybe think it's a fake or a fraud. So let's talk about how complex or simple it was for you to change. Okay, so you're in this state. You obviously made some changes to become who and what you are today. Those changes obviously were effective. They worked. We can see the outcome. Mm-hmm. So what were some of those changes in the mind and also in your actual action-based lifestyle?
Like anything, right? We hit sort of a to bring in a Canadian reference, a TSN turning point, if you will. There was that moment where I hit rock bottom, at least at age 14, almost 15. For me, it was rock bottom. I mean, my short life up to that point, half of that lifespan was spent in a state of unhealth. And that was my point of reference, right? Like, was feeling that way. I don't recall what it felt like to feel good. And I hit a point where I was very depressed. I had alienated myself from a lot of significant relationships and even family. And, you know, to find photos, you talk about the photo, and I did bring out one of two photos of me at that time, because I avoided the camera. You know, I was not comfortable being photographed. So it's always been a challenge trying to find photos of me back then. But, you know, I hit that rock bottom for me, and I had two choices. I had suicidal thoughts, and I didn't like the direction that was going to go, because it was pretty definite. You know, that was it. You're done. Or I could try to figure out something to make some changes. And I made that decision, and I not only chose to make some changes and to get healthy and to seek help to make that change a reality, but I put action to that choice. And I think that is really what it boils down to for so many people looking to make lifestyle changes. And then there's a decision, a choice to follow through with that want. And then again, it's putting action and regular action to your daily habits to achieve that goal or that want or that new lifestyle. And that's what I did. And this is all pre-Google. So yeah, I did it the old school way. I went to the library, you know, I got out books on health and nutrition and exercise, and I started to self-educate. And then I sought out people that I believed to be experts or people that could be a mentor to me that I felt were leading lifestyles that I wanted to emulate from a health and fitness perspective. And my parents were very supportive and bought me a mountain bike and got me a gym membership and would drive me to the gym, you know, either early mornings or after school. And I'd spend a couple hours there and I'd talk and try to befriend some of the guys that were very fit and just pick their brains. And I was very fortunate that people were willing to grab my hand when I extended it forward and asking for help. And that's always stuck with me. So as 30 years later, I'm very quick to respond to people that reach out to me for help, because I know how challenging that can be. And it takes a lot. It's vulnerable, right? We're exposing ourselves to criticism. And in a lot of times, it puts us in that space where we're just very uncomfortable. And so I commend people that extend their hand and ask for help, because it's a very brave thing to do. And thankfully, someone grabbed my hand when I did that when I was young.
Well, it sounds like you fulfilled what I call my three success steps for life. Number one is you became clear about what you wanted. Number two, you got educated. You found the information. You acquired the information. And then number three, you took action and you actually did it.
Yes, I did.
And there are experts in life today that write books and make commentary, and they say, oh, no, it's not that easy. It's not about movement. You began to move and train and work out, and I assume you changed your diet. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What changes did you actually make to your diet?
Remembering back now, I ate a lot of sugar. Okay, a lot of processed food as a kid, especially at my largest there, because that was the one thing I could control. You know, in that state, I couldn't control my parents going through separation and divorce. I couldn't control where we lived. I couldn't control so many variables in my life because they were outside of me. But the things that I could control was what I put in my mouth. I could control whether I decided to move my body or not. Those are things that I had complete control over. And I was not choosing a positive action. You know, I was choosing to play a lot of video games, watch TV, and vegetate, not move my body. And I was also choosing to fill my body with empty calories and a lot of them. So it was no surprise that I got to where I was over that period of 5 years. I mean, it just gradually happened over time, and like compound interest, it just kept building. And when I made my decision to make some changes, I went and got some books on nutrition, and I just started to eat more whole foods, you know, started to prepare the meals. Actually, I started to cook, you know, and my mom, being a single mom raising two boys, she would buy the groceries and I'd make the dinners for us, you know, before she got home from work. And I started to really enjoy that process because I had ownership in what I was making. And I started to educate myself on herbs and just the different ways of getting food flavors naturally without all the salts and the sugars and all the sauces and all that. And it's amazing what you can do when you start to experiment and call it alchemy, if you will. I was playing around with food, right? And I educated myself on macronutrients, the building blocks of life and benefits of water and just all the usual stuff that you talk about and teach your students all the time. I started to educate myself on those simple principles as well. And I developed a really healthy relationship with my food. I really started to pay close attention to how I felt after I ate, in particular that 30, 60, 90 minute window after I'd eaten. How was I feeling? Was my energy good, or was I feeling like I needed more sugar or something to pick me up? Because if I was needing to pick me up, obviously I had something not in balance, you know? So that was it. I just started to have almost like a dialogue with my food and getting to know it and develop that relationship.
When we first met, you were chief operating officer for Fitness Town. You guys responded to our call. You know, we were looking for support for our conferences, and you were there for us, and you participated. And that, I think, began the relationship. And then, of course, more recently, at the Superhuman Summit, you were the MC. You did a great job. I like your energy. Thanks. You're very charismatic. You bring the place up and let things flow the way they're supposed to, as a good MC should do. But tell us what it's like to operate and manage a retail fitness equipment outlet. Sometimes I'm sure that people look at these fitness supply stores and say, geez, what would it be like to own one of those or manage one of those? And what is that business like? So you're the perfect person to ask.
Thank you for the kind words about me emceeing. That was a great weekend, and I got a lot from your talk, especially on the Saturday evening. That was just amazing that your students are familiar with that, but I echo a lot of the same sentiments that you just shared about me. You brought the energy, and gosh, it always wows me. Spencer and I have had many conversations about you, so it's great, and always positive. So, but back to the equipment side of things. Yeah, I got into that when I moved to Vancouver about a year after I got here, and I just found that while I was going to school, I wanted a part-time job, and I love fitness, and it was my first time venturing down a path where I was getting paid to not only retail, like sell products, but also to talk to people about health and fitness. And it wasn't a direct exchange of hours for dollars, because it was also a commission-based pay structure. So it was performance-based. And that was my first time in that kind of pay structure. So I learned very quickly that, wow, the better I help people, and I talk about something I'm very passionate about, and if I help them now also embrace that lifestyle and invest in some equipment to help them achieve that lifestyle, I get rewarded by getting paid more. And I loved it. So I started really diving into that, and I got into it full time and moved into management. And it was my first foray into retail. I did not go to school for business. You know, my background's philosophy and English lit and agricultural sciences. That's my background as far as schooling's concerned. And, you know, so moving into retail was a whole new venture for me, but I didn't have any bad habits. And I recognized that the person that was running the company, James Newman, who's the CEO of Fitness Town and one of the founders, you know, he's got an immense amount of knowledge. And so I really just looked at him as a mentor and tried to emulate and learn from him as much as I could, which I did. And we eventually partnered when we started the Fitness Town chain back in 2004. And it's been a great time. But retail, I jest with people, it's like a boxer, right? You strap the gloves on, you step in the ring, and you're going to battle. Retail, it's high energy, it's customer service. You got to pay attention to the detail. Retail is detail, and it's very true. Especially with a lot of different products, you got to have a lot of different knowledge and skill sets in order to really flourish in that environment. So it's not for everybody, but it's definitely, if it's something that you enjoy already, I'd recommend it. It's always an option for potential trainers and nutritionists to subsidize their income. Is work in a retail environment that is around products that you love already, right? So a snapshot of sort of what it was like. But, I mean, we had our good days and we had our bad days, you know?
What about the apparent failure rate with home fitness? You go and buy some of the stuff and you bring it home and it becomes a clothing rack. It goes under the bed. It collects dust in the closet. That seems to be the case. Now, mind you, the same is also true with a lot of people with gym memberships. They've got the card in their pocket. They're paying members, but they never go. So do you have any insight on home training versus going to the gym? What do you prefer? How do you manage that with people when they ask you that question? Which is best?
It's a personal thing too, right? Like, I've got my opinion on it, and it's not necessarily the same with everybody in the industry, but I look more at the behavioral aspect of just people. And if someone wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to go to a fitness store and buy a treadmill, I wish it happened like that. It just doesn't. There's a process, and there's usually a certain set of dialogue that's already happened with themselves and their family, or potentially a health professional like a doctor. And something's tweaked them to thinking that it's a good idea to get a piece of equipment for the home. A lot of people buy the wrong piece of equipment, though. You know, they get an idea that, oh, hey, my neighbor got this and he's lost 20 pounds. So I think I should probably get one too, because I want to lose 20 pounds. Because I see this with rowing machines, especially like the Concept 2 ergs, right? I love them. I enjoy rowing. But it's a challenging exercise. And for people that are deconditioned, it is a very challenging exercise. And to be able to sustain a 30 to 40 minute session on a rower when you're deconditioned, man, forget about it. But I would see people come in and they'd say, oh, I want to buy this rowing machine, $1,500. My neighbor got one. They've lost a lot of weight. I know it works your upper body and lower body and cardio. And they've done the research. So they're like, I want this piece. And it's like, well, do you like rowing? Have you used one before? Well, no, but my neighbor has one and he's had great results. So I think it's a good idea. And it's like, no, I don't necessarily agree with that, because can you see yourself doing this in the next 10, 15, 20 years? And they're like, well, I just know I want results. And I think that's ultimately the dialogue. And what happens is you get certain salespeople that are very motivated to make a sale, and they will take the path of least resistance rather than educate the consumer. And I was never of that set, and I'd like to believe that our teams were not like that. But again, you know, you can't control everything, and people will be people. And I truly believe that a lot of the cliches that are out there, they're based on fact. You know, go on Craigslist and look at the amount of equipment that people have for sale, and chances are most of that stuff's brand new. And it's usually because people have bought the wrong piece of equipment and they weren't sure why they really wanted to get a piece to begin with. I joke about it, but there was people I would turn out of the store and say, listen, no, before I can sell you the treadmill, you got to go buy a pair of running shoes and you got to wear them out. Okay. Go wear them for 3 to 6 months, get out and walk, jog, whatever. Just get out and beat up those shoes. And once you've worn them out, come back and then we'll talk treadmills. I got that reputation of telling people the straight goods. It did me really well. You know, like I was never a guy that would have to cold call. I had people come in and ask me for me by name, and it was because I would treat them well and help them find a solution that was very unique to them. I like to think that that's how the specialty retail channel works, but it doesn't necessarily always work that way. At the end of the day, Corey, and you know this, it comes down to people, and they have to do things that they love. It's the only way they're going to sustain it for a life. And if you don't like doing something, don't trick yourself into thinking that it's going to be the solution that's going to get you the results that you want, you know?
Yeah, that's incredible insight. Lots was said by you just now, and I like that. Now, you're a writer. You have a blog that is award-winning, The Moose is Loose. Couple questions. How did you get the name Coach Moose? And second, what did you discover about yourself when you began to write?
Well, I guess first off, Moose, the whole Moose is Loose, or the Moose Monitor, it came from a friend of mine, Patty, Craig Patterson, who was one of the first CrossFit gym owners in Canada. I think it was actually the fourth CrossFit gym globally, and there was over 10,000 of them affiliates around the world. But he opened up the first one here in Vancouver, one of the first in Canada. And he kept asking me to come and try this thing called CrossFit. And I was like, I was like, I love going to the gym. I like doing my own thing at home. I was like, I got my own fitness routine. I don't need to do this. And eventually it wore on me and I went and tried it. And I really liked it because I liked the community piece of it, you know, the class format and the camaraderie. And I also liked pushing myself and I liked the coaching aspects. So I really liked it. But my thing is, when I was doing some baseline fitness testing with him, I had to do this run, and I run like a moose, apparently, according to Patty. So he just started calling me Moose, and the name has stuck ever since. And this is back in 07. And when I set up my blog, I was like, okay, well, Moose is Loose. Let's go with that, you know? And so that's sort of where it came from. And my nickname has been Moose really ever since. So you'll see it on social, because I'm very active on social media. I get tagged all the time. Somebody sees a moose, they tag me in it. And so I obviously, it's done something well for me from a branding perspective. But, you know, moving into the blogging, it just was a very good avenue for me to start rediscovering my passion for writing. Because, as I mentioned before, I was philosophy and English lit in university, and I loved writing. I did a lot of creative writing as a minor. And what happened was I got into business. I started having a family, and I just was always reading more so the business books and the personal development books, and not necessarily all the creative writing books again, you know, like a lot of the literature and philosophy books, because I'd had that period in my life where I did a lot of that. And, you know, fast forward 10 years later, I was like, you know what, I want to start writing again. And it seemed like a great medium because it was still relatively new. There wasn't a lot of people doing it, but it was very easy, accessible. And it was a way for me to share my thoughts with the world, anybody that would happen to find it. And that also excited me because, you know, Corey, you get messaged all the time various questions that relate to nutrition and fitness and lifestyle, coaching, and you must receive the same questions over and over again because you do. You just inevitably will based on the numbers of people. And so I started to document my answers with my blog. So if someone would then reach out again with a similar question and say, actually, I wrote an article addressing that exact question, here's the link. And it got into this habit, and then other people started referring to my blog as well. It's just grown now since, 2008 to now. It's been steady growth year over year over year as more and more articles go up, more and more people now cite it, use it as a piece to just self-educate, but also to get some motivation, some inspiration, and some sound advice.
Right on. Well, it was a recent email from Spence that I became aware of your marketing focus on your book and the tour and on all the excitement. And I watched the video, and it was great with your kids and family. And it was well done. It was easy to accept, and it was palatable, and it looks good and fun. So now the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto sounds like something that one of the philosophers of the ages would have spent his entire life writing. I'm sure you put a lot of time and effort into it. Yeah. Online, it says it's a new kind of fitness book. So tell us about the book. Tell us why you wrote it and what we can expect by reading it ourselves.
Thanks, Corey. Well, the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto is really a credo, if you will, or it's sort of my tenets for life. And based on all the transformations that I've personally gone through, but not only on the physical, but also on the mental and the spiritual side, I've recognized that the body-mind-spirit connection, and I've heard you talk about this too, it is so critical to have a good understanding and relationship with all three aspects, and I always found that a lot of the people that I would train and coach, they would always come to me and say, listen, I want to lose 10 pounds, I'm getting married, or I want to lose 10 pounds, I got a vacation coming up, or I want to lose 20 pounds just so I feel a bit better and have better energy. These are all great things, but I felt that there was always something lacking. And when I say that, it's really that underlying why, that passion or purpose, that thing that just gives you that extra little oomph in the morning when you wake up. And when people start looking at their lifestyle choices and they start thinking long term, like 15, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, once your kids are having kids and you're now that grandparent, how do you want to show up? How do you want to lead your life? Like, you just had an amazing trip. I saw all the photos on Facebook. I was very envious of the journey you were just on. And you were able to experience those monuments, like Stonehenge. You got out, you walked around them, you can touch them, you can take in the sights. And I think a lot of people take that ability to just move our bodies well for granted. And that we don't put action in place today to support that thinking 20, 30 years down the road. I see a lot of people that will go on cruises and they'll go on bus tours, but they won't get off the cruise line. They won't get off the bus to explore the monuments or to explore the sights and sounds and the other cultures, and just because they don't have the ability anymore. They haven't looked after themselves. So to me, that's that big why, that big oomph, that thing that's going to kick you in the butt and keep you on path to achieving that lifestyle and maintaining it. And my idea is, I got a lot of readers. I've polled them year after year and surveyed. And also at Fitness Town, we commissioned Ipsos Read Polls where we'd survey our client base, our customer base, and Western Canadians. And we'd ask, what's the big reasons why you fall off? We set these fitness goals for ourselves, but why can't we maintain them? And the same three things kept churning up over and over and over again in these surveys. And it was, one, I don't know how to do it. I don't know when I should do it. And at the end of the day, I really don't understand why I'm doing it, So there's these big questions that people, they don't really have a strong connection with why they want to lead a healthy, active lifestyle. We all want the end result. And we want to feel good, but we don't think beyond that. So my book is really just based on the thousands of people that I've coached and helped through different lifestyle changes. I've documented the process. I've shared my own personal anecdotes and what's worked. I reference in a lot of science to support that. And then on top of that, I give them a 28-day cycle that they can do. And it's not a fitness program that you do and then you stop. It's a lifestyle program. And I'm all about trying to get people in at the very bottom end. When I say that, I mean, I look people in the eye and like, can you give me 30 minutes a day? 30 minutes a day. I want 2% of your 24 hours. Can you give me that? And if they say, yes, I can, then I'm like, great. That's an excellent starting point. Here we go. You're going to move for 15 minutes. You're going to practice mindfulness for 5. You're going to do personal development for 10. That's your 30 minutes. You're going to do it every day for 28 days. And then we'll reset, reboot, and do it again. And I found that now if people stick to it, it becomes a part of their habits, but then they start to do more because all of a sudden they feel good. They develop that relationship where it's like, I remember how good it feels to wake up in the morning and have energy. I remember what it's like to go up a flight of stairs and not be out of breath. I remember what it's like to be able to chase my kids around in the park and actually have fun doing it. And all of a sudden, now that connection with body, mind, and spirit is unified. And they are like, okay, I get it. I get this now. And they develop this new relationship with self. And the sustainability piece, it's a lifestyle program. And that's why I call it a Whole Life fitness, because I talk about family, fitness, finances, faith, overarching roof of fun, and it's all built on a foundation of health. So if you can get all those aspects and constantly reinforcing those, you're going to find that things just click better for you. That was a 5-minute just an amble of stuff, but that's the only way I know best to answer your question. So
right. It's like the elevator pitch. Okay, you're on time. What is it all about? Give me the bottom line. Okay. What's it about? Okay. Yeah. This is great. So what is the website so that our listeners can get to it and purchase a copy and find more information about what you're up to?
Sure. Well, youareawesome.ca is one of the web links you can go to, or you can go to the wholelifefitnessmanifesto.com. Either of those will work. And youareawesome.ca, I find, is a lot easier for people to remember. It's shorter, easier to type in. And at the end of the day, I believe everybody's awesome, you know, in their own special way. So it was the easiest one to go with.
Yeah, one of my student grads came up with an acronym for awesome. I can't remember exactly what it is, but he was blown away by the word himself and used it, and he did a good job with it. Di, we've reached the summit. Our time is gone. We barely tapped into the concepts, all the stuff that we could have got into, but I think that you made some really good points. You knocked it out of the park, and you reminded us of, once again, of what we all need to do. I think most of the time I spend lecturing is to the choir. People that are already doing it, they need to be motivated. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get to those people that simply don't show up and don't turn on the right TV channel or get to the gym or whatever. But, you know, your background in philosophy intrigues me, because that to me is more important, your philosophy in life, than the science. Although if I could be renamed, it would be scientific, would be my first name. Methodology would be my middle name, and exemplification would be my surname, you know, and I would be called Cy for short. Cy. Hey, Cy, how's it going? So, you know, what is your point of being, your purpose? I know that you love your kids, your family, and obviously yourself, yeah. But give us some insight about your own personal philosophy and purpose for your own life itself.
Really quick, I've been going through a transitionary period for myself. As of July, I left my career of 18 years at Fitness Town, and it's just to answer that exact question, you know, what was my purpose in life? What was I most passionate about? And I found that I was deviating away from what I had originally thought was my path. And it kept pulling me and kept pulling me. And I love to connect with people. I love to connect with communities and to help people develop lives that they're not only proud of, but they're excited to be living. And I find that I love to be that facilitator to help them achieve that, or revisit what was that got them excited initially. And maybe they lost focus. And so that's why my wife and I, we always call ourselves life enhancers, because we like to get in there with people in their lives and in those cultures of communities and really connect and help and support and nurture and nourish and all those giving and caring words. We try to embody those. And so that is what fires me up every day. If I can help impact somebody's life for a positive, I feel really good, and it just keeps me going. It just keeps that wind behind me. So that's it in a nutshell, and I'm excited. Hey, do I have the answers? Hell no, but I sure am excited because I'm looking for them, and I'm connecting with new people every day that keep educating me and inspiring me.
Di Emanuel is a lifestyle mentor, author, fitness coach, motivational speaker, and the author of a great new book called The Whole Life Fitness Manifesto. Di, we thank you so much for your time, for your dedication, and we just commend you for the work that you have done, are doing, and will do.
Thank you so much, Corey. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's always wonderful to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to the next time we can connect, you know, off the phone in real life, and that would be fantastic.
Okay.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.